Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday afternoon. ESPN 102.5 The Game. And at this time, every Thursday, we bring in Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. 31 thoughts. Check that out. And you know what? He doesn't have the glorious beard anymore. It is gone. In fact, he put it in a trash bag and probably sent it to the North Pole. Santa could probably use some of that hair. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm going to carry that hair. Are you guys like wrestling guys? Are you guys wrestling fans?
Chase is the big wrestling fan.
So, Chase, we're joking that it's in a plastic – it was in a paper bag or a plastic bag. We're joking that we're going to carry it around like Big John Studd Terra with Andre the Giant's hair from the mid-'80s.
Yep, that would work. That's exactly what you should do. That's funny.
So how weird was it?
The plastic bag of Andre's hair.
Yep.
How weird was it going through that? I mean, just – that is a lot of hair, man. How long did it take?
It took me about half an hour.
Wow.
And, you know, someone advised me, and it was good advice. I watched a video first on YouTube about, you know, how do you shave a gigantic beard? Because I was wondering if I'd have to cut it with scissors first.
Yeah.
But they said, no, you can use a clipper as long as you attack it, not from the bottom, but, like, just from the top and shear it down. So it took me about half an hour. This is a sad truth, but it's maybe the most excited I've seen my wife in quite some time.
So she's glad that it's been shedded and it's gone.
You know, it was so funny. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys on a previous week or not, but there was a time about a couple weeks ago where I was leaving the house to go to work, and I went to give her a kiss goodbye, and she's like, I don't even know where your lips are.
So
it was gnarly.
So how weird is it now? Just feel, are you constantly touching your face?
Yeah, it does weird. I'll tell you this, like, I didn't miss shaving. I'll tell you that much. Like, it's funny how quickly your day goes when you don't have to shave, and you feel like you have more time and more ability to do things. But yes, I do feel that a bit, but you know, it's the other really funny thing is that I had a lot of people who were either tweeting at me or texting me that you've got to get rid of I love that thing. I love that thing. Keep it. Don't get rid of it. And then when they saw me after it was done, they were like, holy cow, you've lost weight. You look good. You look younger. You should have done it sooner. So, you know, it just goes to show that people have no idea what they want. You just have to do what you want to do and kind of go from there. It's a pretty funny world out there.
Tuesday night, Elliot, I had the honor and privilege to host a Predators recap season show with Pete Weber and Hal Gill, and Predators head coach John Hines called it, and we talked about something that he's preached on, just the mentality of the team. And, you know, David Poyle said in the press conference, the end of the year press conference, they got to get back to the Predator way and just all of that. Well, the mood did not get better here in this market when you see how easily Colorado dispatched Arizona, and in the fashion, in the fashion that they did, especially the last two games, it was pretty embarrassing how bad it was for the Coyotes. What did you make of that series and how easy Colorado carved them up?
It was almost to me like, guys, that Arizona's Stanley Cup was when they beat you. Like, they came back, they were all excited to play, and they played you guys pretty hard. Like we talked about this last week, I think that for the most part, you guys were the better team. You know, I thought they were better against you guys than they were against, Colorado, obviously. But it seemed like, you know, every time something went badly for them in your series, they recovered or they handled it. Then for whatever reason, that resiliency, it completely disappeared against the Avalanche. Like, someone I was talking to this morning made the comparison. It was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. Like, that's how lopsided that series was.
Wow.
And, I just have to say that for whatever reason, it was almost like Arizona won their round. They were like, all right, we accomplished something here. And they just didn't have the push. Like, I understand why your fans are upset and annoyed after seeing that. But I don't look at it like, oh, okay, like we would have been worse against since Arizona did that, you know, Colorado would have beaten us in three games. I just think that the Arizona team that showed up to play you guys had no resemblance to the Arizona team that showed up to play the Avalanche for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's fair. I just told you that Chase is, you know, the wrestling guy on the show. Willie is a guy that we call Coach Willie a lot because Willie, you know, is very cautious with everything. Willie is not going to just run and jump in the pool without checking if there's water in it, 1A, 2, the temperature of the water. So he's, you know, he's very cautious. He does not go out there. I'm the one that'll throw out predictions, and he cringes, like, don't say that. You're going to jinx it. And we had Chris Mason on this time yesterday because we talked to Chris Mason on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock our time. And this happened during the show, Elliot, and I want to get your thoughts.
What a player. He has turned it up. Just not going to let him lose, it looks like. And speaking of that, Columbus looks like they've scored another goal here to go up 4-2. So that series looks like it's going to go to the next level. Congratulations. Well, it's not over yet, but good for them for bouncing back.
He almost threw out a congratulations.
I didn't say the full thing. I stopped myself from saying congratulations.
And
so the Coach Willie instinct kicked in at the last second there.
But at the end, when we got done with C-Mace, I turned to Willie on the air, and I was like, I can't believe you said that with 10 and a half minutes to go. And as we know, Elliot, the rest is history.
Well, first of all, let me say that Willie's way of living life, that you should check if there's water in a pool before you dive in, I would say that's a good rule. I don't think that's, you know, overcautious or anything like that. I think that's just kind of a smart way to live. First of all, I think that Tampa proved that whatever happened last year, they're not the same this year. And, you know, sometimes you get your face punched and, you know, how do you react to it? What do you learn? And I love John Cooper's line that, you know, he knew exactly how many days it was yesterday, 422 days or whatever it was since they'd lost to Columbus. I make that, you know, they learned their lesson. You can have talent, but you also have to have will. I just don't think in sports, like, talent is never enough. It helps, and I don't think you can win without it, but you have to have the will. You have to have the grind. You have to have the mentality. And last year, Tampa took a punch in the face in game one, and they never recovered. And they had to sit there. And you know what? Like, I know, like, if you guys remember last year's NHL Awards show, Keenan Thompson for Saturday Night Live, he hosted, and he was great.
Yep.
But he was ripping the Lightning in his monologue. Like, he was just trashing them. And Kucherov's there, he's getting the Hart Trophy, and Vasilevsky's there, he's getting the Vezina Trophy, and Cooper's there, he's up for the Adams Trophy. And, you know, they're all sitting there as this comedian is tearing into them. And, like, they knew in advance, but that still sucks. Like, that's hard. And I think those guys, like, they were determined that they weren't going to let that happen again. And you look at their team, like, look at some of the guys who had their big series. Barkley Goodrow, fourth liner, had a big goal. Blake Coleman, third, fourth liner, had a big goal. Yates Gore, third liner, had a big series. Shattenkirk, who's a depth defenseman on that team, had a huge goal yesterday. There's no passengers. Your stars have to be stars, but you can't have your bottom pairing D and your bottom six forwards getting caved in. And, like, when I look at Tampa, I see a team. They've got incredible talent, and they've got a lot of ability there, but they have a lot of they have 23 guys who are good, and they grind. Like, they really grind, and I think that's the difference. Like, that Columbus team, you guys know them. They're hard to play against. And that was a closer than a 4-1 series, but they had to work for every inch to win it. And that says to me that they're a very different team than last year. I'll tell you this, though. If everything plays out in a certain way, it could be Tampa-Boston next round, and one really good team is going to be going out very early.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I can't remember which analyst said this on the telecast last night, or I didn't remember if it was a post-game show or what, but after the game between the Flyers and the Canadiens, where it got a little nasty at the end, somebody said, I've been waiting for a game like this.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting to me that, as I thought about it, there hasn't been a lot of the real chippiness that you would maybe normally see in first round of playoff series. Is that a fair observation?
You know, I think the games have been hard and tough. Like, I think that I think they've been harder and tougher and edgier than we thought. But yes, last night was the first one I thought really looked like it was going to flirt with going over the line. And, you know, like when that game was over, they're having a hearing today for Matt Niskanen for the cross-check to Brendan Gallagher's face. And they also didn't like, there was a play when Montreal scored the empty netter. Sean Couturier from Philly kind of flattened one of Montreal's players, Lehkonen, where he couldn't see it. And they didn't like that either. So I do think that was the first game that really looked like it was going to boil over. So my answer would be that I think the games have been edgier, but I never thought they were in danger of getting out of control until the end of that game last night. Like the last couple of minutes of that game had a chance to really go haywire. And when Voracek jumped into the pile onto Shea Weber, I thought Shea Weber was going to pile drive him like to the parking lot. And I couldn't believe
we have all seen, we have all seen that trigger get hit with Shea Weber in the past. I'll never forget what Cody Franson said to me when he was young, because he grew up a little younger than Shea Weber, but played like youth baseball with him and stuff. He said, "You learned very early not to poke the bear." I immediately thought of that quote when Voracek jumped in there. I would have loved to see if Weber could have gotten free. Because he would have snapped. I think it really would have gone to another level, but they never really got him separated.
You know Shea Weber. He could have gotten free if he wanted to get free, but he just kept his cool. Like, that's one of those where, and this happens a lot in the NHL, like, you can't always get revenge in the playoffs, so you take a number and you say, I'll see you next year.
Elliot, you've got Vancouver that is now inched ahead of St. Louis in a series that has really had great twists and turns.
It's
for an outside observer, it has been extremely compelling. Do they have one more win in them? I think this is the most compelling series of the first round.
I would agree with you. You know, it was 3-1 last night. I don't think there's like, I'll tell you this, like, I like to gamble, and sometimes when a team gets down, I like to put money on them, depending on what the odds are, just to say, okay, do I really believe this team can come back and do something here? And I wasn't putting any money on the Canucks last night. Like, when they were down 3-1 to St. Louis, I was like, okay, game 6 on Friday night, and we'll see what happens. Like, that was a shocking, shocking turn of events that the Blues blew that game. I think it's going to be, right now, guys, like, it's almost attrition. They lost Tyler Myers, one of their defensemen, with a shoulder injury. I don't think he's going to be back this series. They lost another key defenseman, Alex Edler, last night. Took a skate to the ear. Now, they think he's going to be okay to play tomorrow night. You know, a goalie can win you a game here, but if they're missing both those defensemen for any time, a long period of time, that's a really tall order. Like, those guys are important players for Vancouver.
Elliot, what have the ratings been like? We were just talking about sort of the carnival all-day atmosphere that we get as a sports fan here, watching, and you can mix in other sports as well, but almost from noon to midnight, basically in the central time zone, you can watch continuous action. So what have the ratings been like in Canada to the NCAA basketball tournament here, that feel of, you know, you're sneaking out for lunch, you're doing whatever you can to go watch a little bit?
They've been pretty good. Like, it always, like, the better the Canadiens teams do, the better it is for us. You know, Toronto going out in the first round, or not even going out in the first round, but in the qualification round, that hurts because our biggest rating games in the first round were Toronto's games. So they've, but like if Vancouver advances, that's huge for us. So they've been good, but you always want them to be better. Like for example, in Canadian history, I think the most watched sporting events are the 2010 Olympic gold medal game where Canada beat U.S. in overtime, the 2002 gold medal game where Canada beat the U.S. in 5-2, and I think third was Vancouver-Boston game 7 in 2011, and then I think comes the Raptors winning the NBA title last year. So, like, the farther a Canadian team goes, the better our numbers get. But so I would say, like, I've been watching the numbers in the States, and I guess NBC is really happy with them. I'd say they're probably a little happier with their numbers than we are so far. But if a Canadian team can move on, our numbers will go up pretty big.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So obviously the Islanders have a soft spot in our heart with Barry Trotz and so many years spent here, and we've been watching them. I have been, even going back to the qualifying round, I've been fascinated by them because that is the epitome of a Barry Trotz coach team, that just they're scrappy, mm-hmm. they never give up, and maybe other teams have more talent than they do, but they're showing and looking like they're going to try and close it out tonight against Washington and move on. But what have been your thoughts about that Islanders team so far?
Well, I told you I like to wager, right?
Yeah.
My wife is listening to all this, and she's like, is our mortgage going down the hill as she listens to all this betting I'm talking about? But I put a couple dollars down on the Islanders before the playoffs started. And, you know, I think the biggest question about them is, are they going to be able to score enough to win the Stanley Cup? But the thing I liked is, and you guys know this from having Trotz, is structure. Like, I just figured that, you know, we're coming out of unprecedented circumstances. I thought the Islanders would just, their system, they'd know what they had to do. Like, everybody on that team, they knows what their role is. They know what they're supposed to do. And I thought that would really help them. Like, I didn't think, I think they're 7-2 or 8-2, including their exhibition game, since we've gotten into the bubble. And which is pretty impressive. I don't know if I expected that, but I look at them and I see a team where everybody knows what their role is and everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And I think that helps in a time like this. And so far that's been true. I don't think they'll be shaken by losing that other game the other night. I don't think that's going to have any effect on them at all. And I mean, it's going to be really tough for Washington to win 3 more against that team. They just don't make too many mistakes. I think they're really smart.
Do you feel like, and it may not be this year because this is such a weird offseason, but Lane Lambert has been an assistant for Barry Trotz going back to his time here in Nashville. He went through with him in Washington, and now he's with the Islanders. Do you feel like his time is coming, that he's going to get a shot as a head coach?
To be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten it yet. You know, I really am. I know he was close. When Colorado hired Jared Bednar after Patrick Waugh quit in August, Lambert had a really good shot at that job. Didn't get it, obviously. I'm surprised. You know, I just think that, you know, for one thing, he played. You know, for another thing, you know, he's a pretty respected guy. For a third thing is he learned at the feet of, you know, I don't know what you want to call him, Obi-Wan, Barry Trotz. Like, he's learned at the feet of a guy who knows how to take teams and make them better than the sum of their parts. So, like, to me, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten it yet. I wonder, with the Islanders' success, does it help him some more? But I just have to tell you, like, honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened for him yet.
As a media guy, we talked about the Columbus and Tampa Bay series earlier, but when you see John Tortorella, everybody knows that Torts will be Torts, and he has that personality. And I've said on the show that there are times where when he's in one of his moods and has the one-liners, you know, I think it's funny. I know a lot of people, though, they don't appreciate it. They want the head coach to answer questions in the good times and the bad times. He went through two questions yesterday, and he said, I'm not here for the feel-good stuff, and he walked off. How do you view that stuff from Tortorella?
Most of the time I'm with you. I'm like, that's just him. And, you know, if I was one of the reporters in Columbus who had to deal with it every day, I'd get tired of it. You know, there's no question about that. I would get to the point where I just know myself as a person. I would just say something at some point. Like if you have, it would just bother me if I did it on a day-to-day basis. My dealings with Tortorella have been excellent. I really like dealing with him, but I don't deal with him every day. The one thing I didn't like about yesterday is I think when you get knocked out, that's when you have to stand up and you have to answer the questions. Like when you get knocked out of the playoffs, I think you have to give more in that moment. I know it sucks. Like losing sucks. There's nothing worse in sports from a competitive point of view than losing. It sucks. But, you know, everybody has to go through it. Like, these are weird times, but, you know, the players have to stand up there in front of their stalls and answer the questions. At some point in time after your season ends, David Poyle has to sit in front of all the media, and he's got to answer the questions. I don't think in that particular situation the coach should be any different. I think that in that particular moment, I think that you have to answer the questions and talk about your team. And even if you don't feel like it's touchy-feely, that's the toughest moment of the year, and people should be expected to answer.
Elliot, good stuff as always. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.
Thank you. That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts, and we always enjoy our conversation with him every Thursday at this time. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.